I'm Alan Walker, and in this episode I talked to recruitment technology legend and smart recruiter CEO Jerome Turning. We talked about what TA leaders should be doing during a downturn, smart recruiter's three-point response to COVID-19, and about hiring success, both the concept and his book of the same title. And I think he might have said he was going to invade Belgium. Enjoy!
Please take your seats. This evening's performance is about to begin.
Hi Jerome, how are you?
I'm great, Alan. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. Welcome to the Chat Talent People podcast. It's great to have you on as a guest.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be here.
For those that that don't know you, I know certainly a lot of people in our industry will, but for the small minority that might not, could you tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do, Jerome?
Sure. My name is Jerome Turning. I'm French, as you can hear, I'm sure. And I'm the founder and CEO of Smart Recruiters. We are an enterprise talent acquisition suite. So we're the generational successor to the ATS CRM mess, I was going to say, that people still have in many organizations. And we help drive hiring success for over 1,000 enterprises like Bosch or IKEA, Visa, even LinkedIn actually uses us for their own hiring. And based out of San Francisco.
Wow, okay, 1,000 clients, that's impressive. And there's clearly a lot of pressure on TA leaders currently through this crisis that we're living. And I hate to say these unprecedented times, because I'm not sure a million other people have said that already. But and that pressure comes from either being unusually busy, so they've got crazy high volumes of hiring, or potentially unusually unbusy because their hiring volumes are low. It certainly doesn't feel like many are sitting in the middle with business as usual. What are you hearing from smart recruiters clients at the moment, Jerome?
Yeah, I think you describe it well. It's freeze or frenzy at the moment. On the frenzy side of things, you find, of course, healthcare organizations, some public sector organization, delivery, online delivery. An example, we just partnered with Eligis to set up a platform to help the state of Maryland hire 10,000 health workers. And
wow.
When we got that call, was on a Monday, the platform went live on a Friday. And that was the timeline that they needed, right? Because, yeah, we don't need these people in 3 months. We need them right now. So there's a frenzy side to it. And then there's the freeze, which is the most common, more common, probably a 70-30, right, between freeze and frenzy.
Yeah.
The freeze is a more common framework here. And still, I think a lot that TA leaders and recruiting teams are doing in a hiring freeze that I'm actually really proud of how our industry has been stepping up and how TA leaders are stepping up in organizations.
And what about the impact on you guys directly? So how has the smart recruiters business responded to this?
You know, we defined a three-point action plan. One, the first one was keep our Smartians, we call ourselves Smartians, keep our Smartians safe and engaged. So we moved everybody home, which went well. We then went into how engaged are our people. We surveyed them. Interestingly, we looked at this engagement survey, and the results were really good, like 9 out of 10 on most metrics. But then we looked at, the long tail here is like we had maybe 2-5% of the team that was actually in a really bad place, right?
And really?
I think because, you know, bad working conditions at home, too small kids, or just all confused, or their job had changed too much. So I think it's a time where it's, when you look at employee engagement, it's really a time about making sure that nobody gets left behind. That was interesting, a good lesson there. Second, we looked at how do we protect our customers, and we can talk about a number of measures we did for our customers, but we really wanted to unite our customers and step up for them, which we did. And then from a business standpoint, we've actually had a very busy last 8 weeks. We've had more RFPs and more opportunities than we've had in the past four months before that. And the reasoning is simple, right? As TA leaders are seeing the hiring freeze, what could be a better time than now to actually upgrade your ATS? right? Absolutely. Upgrading your ATS is like replacing the engine of a car, right? It's a lot easier when the car is parked. And the financial well, it's true, right?
It is very true. Yeah, yeah. I like that analogy. Right? Absolutely, yeah.
Because you're like, okay, well, if I'm busy filling wrecks, like, can I really change my ATS? I just don't have time for that. Well, right now, we actually have time for that. The financial case is very clear, right? You go to the CFO and say, well, we have this old ATS we've had for 15 years, and we put a CRM, like we have three or four systems on it. We're going to consolidate all of this into one talent acquisition suite. It's going to convert candidates at least 50% better rates than before, which means we'll spend less money advertising and sourcing when we start hiring again. And it's going to allow us to engage managers better and make my recruiters more effective. So I probably could restart with like 2/3 of the team I had before the crisis. Dear boss, here is the business case. Can I go ahead? If you do that, you go to your CFO. They generally are going to say yes. And if they're honest, they might be, and good that you came to see me because your name was also on the list, right? I mean, this is the brutal reality of facts. Right now, as a TA leader, you need to be thinking, how am I going to help my company either save money or save people?
And show that I'm still adding value during this time when people may, from outside looking in at the TA function, think, what on earth are these guys doing at the moment? Is that risk, isn't it? Yes, it is.
And I think, you know, so I had an example of like, how can you help save cost? Obviously, replacing your ATS is one, but you could rationalize your advertising. You could rethink your referral program. You could finally get on with your CRM and learn how to do proper campaigns and nurtures. You could do talent pipelining for future recs. Like, there's a lot of things you could do as a TA leader to help the organization save costs and be more efficient when we start. But there's also a lot you can do to help them save people. And I think right now, the smart TA leader are really stepping up to own internal hiring. Like in many organizations, internal mobility, you know, is it HR led, not so led by TA, or, you know, it's a bit of a mixed bag. And I think right now there's an opportunity for TA leaders to step up and go to the CFO or the CHRO or the CEO and say, you know, under no circumstances should we hire somebody externally in the next 2 years if we have somebody inside that could do the job, right? Or if we have an alumni that we could bring back. And so I want to own this program, and I want to bring internal mobility into my realm and make sure that we are hunting for talent internally and that we are helping redeploy talent in the areas where we need rather than laying them off. And if we have layoffs, then we have a good alumni program to actually bring those people back. Or just like Airbnb announced, to help people out. Airbnb, who announced a round of layoffs, actually turned their TA team into an alumni placement team. And they rolled out an alumni platform with a directory. The directory is public, which is it's a different conversation. But actually, use your CRM as an alumni talent pool and give tell your recruiters to actually help those people that you are going to lay off or that you have laid off transition back into work. That's a fantastic use of your recruiting team right now. It's going to help you build your brand. It's going to help your alumni get back to work faster. Might actually help you rehire those alumni at some point if they are on furlough. So there's really a lot that TA leaders can and should be doing, I think, right now. It's a good time for TA leaders, even though it's a very harsh time, undoubtedly.
But I think you're spot on there, particularly around the internal mobility stuff. It's stuff that TA probably should have owned anyway and should have been doing much better at. I don't want to sound negative. I was a TA leader myself before I decided to start doing what I'm doing now about 3 or 4 years ago. And it was always challenging. You were busy. You were being pulled from pillar to post. I get it. Well, it's difficult, but particularly that internal mobility bit. We as a TA community have historically not been wonderful at it, and it's such a lost opportunity.
Yeah, it is, because when you think about marketing jobs to your internal talent, like this has to be approached by TA. Otherwise, what you hear is employees say, you know, it's actually a lot easier to find a job outside than it is inside. Really? Like, how can this be? Like, if you're the CEO of that company and you hear this, you're like, no, this is not right, right? And the reason is simple. TA people from outside are targeting your employees, but your own TA people are not allowed to target your employees because there are some rules that, you know, if you want to apply to a job, you need to ask your boss before. It's like, okay, well, if I want to apply to a job to our competitor, do I need to ask my boss? No. So why do I need to do this internally, right? So I think there's a lot of changes that could be made in internal hiring, and they are happening now as people are saying, yeah, internal mobility is my priority for the foreseeable future.
And particularly as a skill shortage as well. Forget like now and the crisis, but as things start to ramp up and that competition for skills gets even meatier and more of a challenge for individuals, looking internally at what you've got and sometimes thinking, actually, if someone's 90% there internally, I could fill that 10% much easier than I can hiring somebody externally and not really knowing all that much about them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, the old adage, you hire for aptitude and fire for attitude. If you've got employees who have the right attitude, who are in-house, and you can develop them into new skills and give them the opportunity, you're always winning at that game. And people don't really, I think, realize the complexity of recruiting nowadays. Mm. And it's very simple, right? It's like, 30 years ago, a software developer was a software developer was a software developer, right?
Yeah.
Right now, how many variations of a software developer do you have? Like if you know how to build an iOS app on iPhone, obviously you cannot build an Android app for Google, right? Those worlds
obviously.
Right? And so jobs are becoming increasingly more skilled and therefore increasingly more granular, and that makes recruiting exponentially more difficult, right? And this is, I think, where people have been struggling to keep up. This is why 80% of CEOs put hiring top talent as their number one concern. I guess they have other number one concerns right now, but the long-term perspective is very clear. The company with the best talent wins. Like, you are who you hire.
Oh, absolutely. You live and die by the people you employ, don't you? Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And an average idea with great people will always perform a great idea with terrible people.
Yes, indeed.
And without a doubt.
Without a doubt, that actually is also proven scientifically, right? The best performing reps sell 3 times more than the average. The best performing software developers sell 8 times more than the average. And I think here we have, as a TA community, we have somewhat failed to step up as a business partner to most executives. And it's something I talk about in my book a lot. It's like the primary measures of TA today are cost per hire and time to fill, faster and cheaper. Really? Mm. Really? Is that TA? No, TA is an investment function. Like you invest in recruiting to acquire the best talent, just like you invest in marketing to get customers. And I think if we could shift that function, start by being measured on other metrics, new metrics, think about it as hiring success, like the ability to hire amazing talent. If you showed up at a CEO's desk and said, hey, would you like to have the ability to hire amazing talent on demand, you definitely get a sparkle in her eyes or in his eyes. And I think that's a good opportunity here for TA as well to reinvent themselves.
I think you're right about that costing and the speed thing as well. But the costing is ridiculous. If you look at most businesses, the actual cost of recruitment is a tiny, minuscule dot in the ocean. So if you're saving 20% on that, it makes no damn sight difference to the business. But if you're actually increasing the quality of hire or the productivity of those people that you hire or hiring them and they're getting to a level of productivity much faster, they're the real metrics, aren't they, that matter to leadership.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think CEOs know that. And, you know, that's why when they need to hire someone for their team, like a CFO, they turn to Egon Zehnder, right? And it's like, yeah, it doesn't matter how much it costs. Well, exactly. Yeah, it doesn't matter how much it costs, right? And that same sentence applies to every organization everywhere. And of course, you have to apply the right investment. And so defining a hiring budget, we define the hiring budget as a percentage of first year salary. So you can say, I'm investing 5% of my new hire salary in recruiting. Well, actually, you know what? I'm investing 3% for core staff that's easy to find, but for impactful staff that's hard to find, like software developers or data scientists or management, I'm up to 8%, right? So you can actually really make it an investment and measure the outcome in velocity and in quality. Like, are we getting the right people on time? Which is our hiring velocity, right? The percentage of jobs filled on time, which is much better than time to fill, right? Because if your time to fill is 51 days, I'm a CEO, I don't care. Like, start earlier, right? Like, what does it mean, 51 days? Why? But if you tell me that our hiring velocity is 85%, that means 85% of the jobs are filled on time. I know that if I decide to invade Belgium, the soldiers are going to be there on the day of the invasion, right? And that act- yeah, that's my French side.
But I was going to say that. That is your French side, isn't it?
That is my French side. I'm actually half Belgian. I was born on the border. So this is my,
you're a confused man invading yourself.
Exactly, right. I was invading Belgium on Saturday nights for a long time. But anyway, long story short, I think hiring velocity is a metric that speaks to the C-suite very well, because it translates into business velocity, right? Are we going to have the people we need when we need them? And on the quality side, we actually piloted about 2 years ago a new metric that we call the net hiring score. And the net hiring score works like an NPS. 90 days into a hire, we ask the manager, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much of a fit is this person for the job? And then interestingly, we also ask the candidate, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much of a fit is this new job for you? And then you take the 9 and 10 minus the 1 to 5, and you have just like an NPS, a positive negative score that tells you, are you hiring more great people than or great fits than poor fits, right? And the first time we did the survey was with a large tech company here in Silicon Valley. And in 52% of cases, either the manager or the candidate or both said, ugh, no, not really. We took this data back to the CEO. It's like, in 52% of cases, your managers or candidates are saying, yeah, meh, you know, from straight mistake to, yeah, not the best choice I made here, right? What is that? What kind of organization are you building after that? So measuring your net hiring score, your hiring velocity, and your and measuring your hiring budget, those three metrics which form the hiring success scorecard really have helped TA leaders step up as business partners.
Does it help you then drill down? So let's say your NPS is not where it should be, and 52% of people are saying that. Does it help you understand why?
Yeah. So interestingly, the question of why is kind of the next question in the survey. And you know why? In most cases, for the candidate, is the job is not what they told me it was going to be.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this is such a classic, right? And they point to mistakes for managers. So this is on the candidate. On the manager side, they point to cultural fit. It's not. It's just not the right attitude. It's rarely the aptitude. Not the right skill set, because when they have the right attitude and the wrong skill set, they generally say, yeah, they're probably okay. right. But if the attitude is wrong, you're like, okay, no, this is not going to work out. Right.
Exactly. Because you can, as you say, you can develop someone's skills, can't you? It's very hard, not impossible, but very, very hard to change the attitude. And it's certainly not something that happens in the space of a few weeks of training or development or coaching. No, it could take months if it ever happens.
Yes.
So you mentioned their hiring success a few times. You mentioned your book as well briefly. Mm-hmm. Good plugging skills. And I know that the two go hand in hand, because the book is called Hiring Success, isn't it?
Yeah, the book is called Hiring Success, and I published it about a month ago now, and it's been quite well received. And really, what I wanted to write about is it's a book that I wrote for the C-suite. It's a strategic view of hiring success. It's really like, oh, you want to hire great people at scale? Yeah, that's what CEOs want. Well, it's actually not rocket science. This is how you do it. And it's really the basics of TA, but seen from an executive standpoint, reframing how, and it makes a business case simply of why should you invest in recruiting to actually get better talent, and how do you do that? And it's actually a perfect Christmas gift from the TA leader to their CEO, because if their CEO is going to read this book, they definitely will put more money in recruiting. And that was the idea. It's like, hey, no, time to fill and cost per hire is the wrong way. We're not a back office function. Like, I can hire people in a time to fill of zero and a cost of zero. I just walk in the street and start offering jobs to anybody I meet, right? Are you happy now? Because I've drove those metrics down. No, that's not what you want. Okay, so how do we actually have a proper business conversation? So the book has been well received. It's a bestseller on Amazon, and several thousand copies sold so far. A good Christmas gift or birthday gift for your CEO.
Nice. And I was going to say, probably lots of happy TA folk who are now receiving much more investment and support from their CEO after gifting said book. And probably a wee bit early for Christmas, maybe, particularly if they want to get that investment in the next few months. So do it as an early summer gift is probably my recommendation. But I've seen it. I think I have a copy. I need to read it, Jerome. But I've heard very positive things about it. And you'll be even more impressed that every time I talk to any of your Smartians, they mention Hiring Success all the time. And they also mention the book all the time. So nice. You're pleased with your team.
Yes.
And that book in itself is a great example, I think, of you doing something to support the industry as much as anything else. But I've heard also about a couple of other things that you guys are working on or supporting at the moment. One that I think has been going for a while now called reverse recruiting, but also a bunch of initiatives across the globe that are actually supporting job seekers in the recruitment world. Things like, is it Jobs for Lebanon being one of those? Mm-hmm. And another one, which is a mouthful, and if I get this wrong, tell me, Recruiters Recruiting Recruiters?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you tell me a little bit about those?
Of course. Yeah, this starts from our Smart Recruiters Cares plan, right? So our CSR arm. And we've historically been very involved in helping people find jobs. It's kind of our mission. Early in the crisis, we decided to donate our technology to effectively help match people. So it started with Jobs for Lebanon, which connects the Lebanese diaspora to people in Lebanon that are working remotely. It's been live now for about 6 weeks. Over 250 jobs have been posted there and filled by local people. And they're coming from all over the world, all kinds of companies, really nice. And then we kept going in helping this. There's Jobs for Australia that actually launched. That's bringing TA leaders and people who have been impacted by COVID together. So it's like turning TA leaders, recruiters into mentors and helping coach people. And then the one you mentioned, Recruiters Recruiting Recruiters, is actually a really interesting initiative, and that is for recruiters. And I would say to anyone who's listening, if you're in TA or in recruiting and you've actually been let go or you are furloughed, look at this platform and sign up there. There's effectively over 300 enterprises in the platform that are still hiring, that are in the hiring frenzy side of things. So you think Amazon and all these guys are in there, and they actually are posting jobs all the time. There's a live feed of new jobs, and you can sign up to the talent pool and receive support from the community. So the idea was really, let's bring the community of TA together to help each other during this difficult time. time. We've had, you know, it launched 2 weeks ago. We've had several hundreds. I think we passed 1,000 people signing up to the town pool. And it's an industry initiative, right? It runs on the Smart Scooters platform, but it's an industry initiative. All the ATSs are plugged in there. All the consultants, like, it's a real big initiative that's spreading nicely. So if you're looking for a role and you're in TA, check it out, and they're here to help.
Excellent. With a smaller company, launched a similar thing. Not a similar thing, actually quite a little bit different, but I think there might be an opportunity here for us to see if there's a way of hooking up here in the UK about 6 weeks ago. That's a referral platform for recruiters looking to hire recruiters. And I think there might be some opportunity here to partner in some way, shape or form, because we've got a community now of, I think, something like 300 or 400 recruiters on there, and HR people and talent people. So it's quite broad. But the one thing that we need more is more jobs to refer people to.
Yes.
So maybe we can look at hooking up in some way so we can direct traffic your direction to that platform.
On that note, if I may, the hardest thing for job seekers right now is to know which job is real.
Yes.
So if you're listening to us, please do me a favor. When you're done listening to this amazing podcast, go to your ATS and unpost the jobs that are not real.
Absolutely.
I know that you could say, oh, I'm just pipelining for the future. No, right? You can pipeline using your CRM, building communities and telling people, hey, sign up here. We will let you know when we're hiring. That's good pipelining.
Yeah.
But pipelining with a job is just fake advertising, and it doesn't help anybody. So it doesn't help your brand, doesn't help you either. So go out and post your job, inform the candidates, the hundreds of candidates who have applied in the last few weeks, that you're not hiring for this role right now, but you'll be in touch very soon. Because right now, job seekers need to know when they're applying to a job, is this real? Should I hope to hear back, or am I just wasting my time? That's important. It's the right thing to do.
Absolutely. And that's always been the right thing to do. But now it's even more so important, because some people are really on the, you know, on the cusp of feeling under underwhelming pressure at the moment. Mental health issues, left, right and center. People out of work, struggling to, you know, understand how they're going to pay their mortgage or feed their family from week to week. And if people are advertising fake jobs, it's just an awful approach in my mind.
It is.
Listen, on that, what started as a really positive note and a motivational piece, and me bringing the tone right down, I'm going to say, Jerome, thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. And I know we've been trying to do this now for a couple of weeks or so, and for various reasons, and probably your schedule more than mine, because you're a very, very busy man, it's not happened. But I'm so glad we've managed to get it recorded now. And I've really enjoyed myself. Thanks for everything.
Yeah, likewise. It's been a real pleasure, Alan. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. Head over to chattalent.com for more blogs, vlogs, webinars, and other great content about HR, talent, and recruiting. Everything you could possibly need. Enjoy!